A year or so ago, right about now, Julie's dad was in the hospital and very, very sick. A couple of Christmases ago now, we found out that my dad had cancer. Those were both very scary times. And I know that I'm not alone in that. You've been there too. You're there too. You have loved ones, or you yourself are sick or suffering. Illness is clearly something that we all deal with. Illness is something that comes along with living in this world. God created the world to be good, but when we sinned and went our own way, sickness is one of those things that entered into the world. The passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning helps us to think about, well, how do we make sense of illness in light of who Jesus is? How does knowing Jesus change our experience of being sick? You know, whether or not we know Jesus, we all experience disease. But for us who know and have made a conscious decision to follow Jesus, how does that commitment, how does knowing Jesus change our perspective and experience of being sick? We're going to answer that question through the story this morning of the woman who comes to Jesus and touches his robe in the middle of a crowd. That story is actually tucked inside a larger story about Jairus and his daughter. You've got the beginning of the Jairus story, you've got the woman, and then on the other end is the end of the Jairus story. We're going to lift the middle out, and then next week we'll talk about Jairus and his daughter. Today, we're going to focus specifically on the woman who comes to Jesus. So this is on this is Luke 8, and you can join me around verse 41. If you have your Bible with you, you can find this story in Luke 8. So verse 41 is where we're going to begin. At this point in the gospel, Jesus has been going around the countryside. He's been healing people, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And they come to a town where they meet a man named Jairus. Jairus has a daughter who is 12 years old. And that 12-year-old daughter is very, very ill. She is on death's door. Jairus asks Jesus to come and to heal his daughter. Jesus agrees. And on the way to that house, our story happens. Because in the midst of the crowd of people who wanted to be with Jairus and the daughter and see what was happening, there was another woman who wanted healing. Verse 43, you can read about her. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Some of the older manuscripts also say that she had spent all of her income, but no one could help her. So she is low on morale, low on money, and suffering from this long-term disease. Imagine being her, suffering from a disease that no one could do anything about. Certainly, it looks like they tried, but nothing worked, right? She emptied her savings trying to heal this disease, but it's just gotten worse. And it's lasted for 12 years. 12 years. Like, think back to where you were in 2009. That's 12 years ago. Stephen Harper was still the prime minister. Barack Obama was just being inaugurated, sworn in as the president. H1N1, remember that, was just being discovered in 2009, 12 years ago. So imagine that 12 years ago you got H1N1, but nobody knew what it was or what to do about it, and you've been suffering with it in the background ever since. That's this woman. And it's not just the physical pain and the inconvenience of what she is suffering. This poor woman is cut off from social and religious community because, according to the Mosaic law, this bleeding aspect of her condition makes her unclean. So she is unclean and contagious. If you touch her, then you're going to get it, and you're going to need to quarantine yourself too. This woman is suffering. She is sick. She is alone. And so she comes to Jesus. I don't know why she approaches him the way that she does, right? She sneaks up behind him and touches the hem of his robe. I suspect that it has to do with the stigma around the disease, right? Nobody wants to be near this unclean lady. And so it's not like she's going to announce herself as an unclean lady and come up and touch Jesus. I suspect she's probably just going to sneak up and not let anybody know. At any rate, verse 44, Jesus came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Just like that. Healed in an instant. That is the healing power of Jesus. And Jesus knew what had happened. He looked around, scanning the crowd, and said, Who touched me? Everybody denied it and said, no, it wasn't me. I'm sure the woman pulled the shawl down further over her head and tried to push back into the crowd. And Peter, of course, says, Master, there are people all around you. Of course, somebody brushed into you. This is clearly a pre-COVID-19 situation. Jesus says, no. Someone touched me. Someone intentionally touched me. I know, Peter, that people are bumping and jostling all around me, but somebody reached out their finger and touched me on purpose, and I know because power has gone out from me. Now, does Jesus know who it is that has touched him? I think so. I think he just wants this woman to own up to it. I think he doesn't want this woman to think of him as like a healing battery that you touch him and it jolts off a charge of healing. No, I think he wants her to understand that he and her faith in reaching out is what has healed her. Verse 47, the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. I'm sure the crowd spread at that point. And as she knelt there, it all came out in tears. I'm sure the years of pain, how she had lost all that she had, trying and failing, doctors failing to cure her, how nobody could heal her, and how she had just touched his robe, and she was healed in an instant. Well, what's Jesus going to do in this situation? What's he going to say? You stole healing from me? Is he miffed because he's got something better to do than deal with this old lady who has this thing for 12 years ago? Remember, Jairus is standing next to him. Jairus, the synagogue ruler, very important person in the community, is standing next to Jesus going, don't we have something better to be doing right now? Jesus says to her, verse 48, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Right? It's not the robe. Jesus' cloak is not a magic relic that you touch and it doles out power. It is her faith that made her come to Jesus in the first place. It is the faith that made her reach out and trust that he could do something about it. Your faith has healed you, Jesus says. Go in peace. And with that, Jesus is back on the road to Jairus' house. And we'll talk about that particular story next week. But let's pause and think now about what we can learn in light of this encounter with Jesus. I want to make three points. First, Jesus is both willing and able to heal. He is both willing and able to heal. You know, if you have been sick or suffering for a long time, like this woman has, it probably becomes easy to doubt whether or not God is actually going to help. Right? It might be easy to think, does he not like me and that's why he's not healing me? Or is this too big for him and that's why he's not healing me? You know, this encounter with Jesus shows that neither of those things are true. Jesus is both willing and able to heal. First, he is willing. He doesn't chide the woman for touching him in secret. He knows the desperation that she must be feeling. He knows the way that society has ostracized her. And he returns value to her by not just making her well, but clean too. Right? Everybody in the crowd is probably backing off when they realize who she is. And in their mind, she's a pariah. But what does Jesus call her? Daughter. This suffering woman is just as precious to him as Jairus' daughter is to Jairus. And I don't think it's a coincidence that she's been suffering 12 years, the exact number of years that Jairus' daughter has been alive. Jesus treasures her. He values her. He is willing to heal her. And I think that's actually reflected a little bit earlier in Luke. Luke 5:12, similar situation. A leper comes to Jesus, right? Long-term suffering, ostracized by the community. He falls before Jesus and says, Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean. And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He just reaches out and touches the leper and says, I am willing. Be healed. Be clean. I think that applies here too. Jesus is willing to heal when we are sick. He cares about you when you are suffering. And what's more, Jesus can do something about it. You know, nobody else could heal this woman. 12 years, she's gone to appointments. She's tried wine mixed with rubber and wine mixed with onions and alum and crocuses. Those are the remedies that they probably would have tried in that day. But nothing. 12 years of trying, and then she goes to Jesus and doesn't even ask him. Right? She reaches out in faith. And without even thinking about it, Jesus heals her. Right? No magic potion, no magic words. He's not even paying attention. He's walking through the crowd. She touches him in faith, and he heals her. Jesus is more than able to heal when we are sick. So, first observation, Jesus is both willing and able to heal. But second, I want to add another clause to that. Jesus is both willing and able to heal in his time, right? This woman has been suffering for 12 years. Jesus has been alive all those 12 years, and yet it is only now on the way to Jairus that the time was right for this woman to be healed. We can't just go up to Jesus like he's a magical vending machine and press a button and get healing out. It doesn't work that way. He is not a vending machine that we manipulate. He is our Lord whom we trust. He heals in his time, on his schedule. And it is true that for some of us, healing will not come until eternity. Some of us are going to deal with the effects of living in a fallen creation all of our lives. And that's just a reality. But you can be absolutely sure that Jesus is going to heal for all of eternity. The limbs and parts that struggle to move now are going to be able to run marathons in eternity. There will be no more sorrow, sickness, pain. In his good time, Jesus will heal all things. Now, admittedly, I haven't suffered much in my life, and so I always like to have some perspective when I come to things like this, and when I want perspective so that I know I'm not just being glib about it, I go to somebody like Joni Tada Erickson. She's a quadriplegic who has, by the grace of God, come to faith, given her life now as a quadriplegic to writing and praying and encouraging people, speaking to let people know that there is hope, even for these broken, suffering bodies. She says, God may remove your suffering, and that will be great cause for praise. But if not, he will use it. He will use anything and everything that stands. He will use anything and everything that stands in the way of his fellowship with you. So let God mold you and make you, transform you from glory to glory. That is the deeper healing. And that, I think, is something that we actually see in this story. Remember that all the while that Jesus is talking to the suffering woman, Jairus is standing there quietly, politely, patiently trying to say, Jesus, this woman has been sick for 12 years and my daughter is about to die. Can we please get on with something? In God's providence, Jairus has just seen Jesus heal this more than decades-long sick woman so that he will have faith when he arrives home and finds his daughter dead. He is going to have faith in that moment because of what he has seen through this woman's suffering and perseverance. Jesus can be counted on to heal in his time. So, three, we need to go to him in faith. Jesus is willing to heal. He is able to heal in his time. And so we keep going to him, just as this woman did, to ask for healing in line with his will. You know, I remember at one point hearing about a pastor who had somebody, mega church pastor kind of thing, had somebody come up to him and said, Pastor, do you really believe that God heals people? And the pastor said, well, yes, of course. And the guy says, well, your prayers don't really reflect that. That was very convicting to the pastor. It was very convicting to me when I heard that. You know, we always want to leave room for God's will, for God's timing, but that doesn't mean that we should believe any less fervently in God's miraculous power to heal. He can heal with less effort than it takes for us to reach out in faith, so that's what we need to do. We need to reach out in faith again and again, going to him, trusting in his compassionate goodness. Knowing that Jesus is both willing and able to heal in his time, we need to go to him in faith. So let's just take this, answer our question head on. What do we learn about this illness from Jesus? Because that's where the rubber hits the road here. How does Jesus, knowing him, change our experience of illness? Well, one, I'm going to give you two things and then wrap up. One, you're not alone. Two, you can have hope. How does knowing Jesus change our experience of illness? One, you're not alone. Two, you can have real hope. For people who don't know Jesus, for people like this woman originally, illness can be a terribly isolating thing, right? It can be very lonely. It may feel as though you are going through this experience alone, but if you know Jesus, then you are not alone. He is there with you. He is supporting and sustaining and carrying you along, even if you don't realize it. Jesus has compassion towards you. He is for you. You are precious in his sight, and he is there with you, delivering you every step of the way. So knowing Jesus means that you are not alone in illness. And second, knowing Jesus means that you can have hope. You can have hope that you will be healed. If not in this life, then certainly in the next. But the fact that this woman's story is in the Bible means that Jesus is willing and able to heal in this life. And so no matter the situation, we need to go in faith, truly believing that God heals when we pray that he would heal, to ask that he would. And you know, I'll never get tired of hearing this report from people who come back to the doctor. I went in, I had my treatments, I went in to see what the outcome was, and the doctors looked at the results and they said, we just can't understand what's happening here. We can't understand how it is that you've made it or that you're okay. Well, we know what happened, don't we? The great physician stepped in. Have hope. You're not alone. Jesus is both willing and able to heal in his time, so keep on reaching out in faith. Let's pray. Lord, I know that many of us are struggling with illness and suffering right now. And I don't want people to think when I say, just reach out in faith, that it means that you got to have faith and you got to have more faith. And if Jesus isn't healing you, then you don't have enough faith. That's not how it works. But when we reach out trusting and your timing is right, and your timing is never wrong, then we know that we can count on healing, playing a larger part in your kingdom advancing, or learning deeper reliance on you until we await that time when there is no more pain or sorrow or death. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, when these momentary light afflictions give way to the eternal weight of glory. Lord, I pray that you would be with every person right now who is suffering. I pray that you would be so near to them and so there and tangible, as real as Jesus before the woman reaching out to him in our story. God, I pray that you would heal. God, you know who needs that healing touch right now. We reach out in faith and ask that you would. We reach out in faith knowing that sometimes you work miraculously and sometimes you work through medicines and doctors and healing and counseling. Lord, help us to take every avenue in faith. God, we look to you, knowing that you sustain us and you support us and you love us and we are precious in your sight. Thank you that you will never fail us nor forsake us. So we pray that whether we are in green pastures beside still waters or walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now, that you would restore our souls and restore our being for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.